In verse 18, behold, the men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop. And they let him down through the tiling with his couch or his bed into the midst before Jesus. There was a huge crowd here gathered around Jesus. Verse 17 said that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, how was the power of the Lord present in this place? Because he was. That's how. Jesus Christ was there. And the people had seen healings, miraculous healings of different diseases and blindness by Jesus Christ. And they had gathered up there to see more, hadn't they? A lot of them, so much that these men could not even carry this man who was sick of the palsy through the crowd to get to him. They believed, and this man with the palsy that lay sick on his bed believed that Jesus Christ could heal him. He believed it. And when they could not find what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and they let him down through the tiling with his couch. They tore up the roof. They tore up the roof. Next time it rained, everything's going to get wet unless they fixed it. The importance of them bringing their friend into the presence of Jesus Christ completely overwhelmed and did away with any thoughts they had of tearing up the roof, didn't it? It was important that they bring him to the Lord. Important. Hey, Ariane, you snuck in on me. It's important that they bring him into the presence of the Lord that he might be healed. And so they didn't care about the roof, did they? No, they just took the tiles off and lowered him down to the level, to the floor, to the ground there where Jesus was and where he was teaching. Through the tiling with his couch or his bed into the midst in front of Jesus, before Jesus. They brought their friend before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, when he saw that they believed in him and his ability to heal, his power and authority to heal and to forgive sins on earth, he said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins are forgiven thee." And that cut right to the heart of the Pharisees and the scribes that were there, because they knew. And these scribes and Pharisees, now they were smart fellows. They knew the law of God. That was their life. Most likely it was handed down to them from their father. He was a scribe or a Pharisee, and his father and his father. They knew the book. They knew it. And they said, and the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They knew the law, didn't they? They were right. They were exactly right. The only problem was they didn't recognize him. They were correct. Only God and God alone can forgive sins. The problem was they weren't illuminated from the darkness that they were in to see him. They didn't recognize him, did they? No, they didn't realize that was God. He was God. And he had just proclaimed to this man who was sick of the palsy, laying on his couch, laying on his bed, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, verse 22, he answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts?" He knew what they were thinking. And he asked, whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He was revealing himself to them. He was referring to himself when he said the Son of Man. Either way is what he's saying. Either way, whether I said thy sins be forgiven thee, and that's what causes, sin is what causes all of our problems. It is. Whether it's something specific that you could look back and point to and say, well, I shouldn't have done that because now this happened to me. Or just the general principle that sin equals death. It does. Separation from God. Whether it be easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. He was going to heal him in both senses. We are healed spiritually because he has forgiven our sins. You see, that's what had a hold on us, pulling us toward destruction. It was sin. But we've been freed from that now because Jesus Christ has hung on the cross, and in the blood that he shed was power. We sang it. There's power in the blood. It is there. Only in his blood. No other person of all of time and eternity could have sacrificed their life and it meant anything to God. Only him. So whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee. I, God, he was revealing himself to everyone there. I say to you, arise and walk. You might say his legs were dead. He couldn't walk. He had no control over them. Very possibly no feeling in his legs. But the power of God's word was more than his body could take. It had to come to life. Power in his word. I say unto thee, verse 24, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And how long did it take? The next verse says, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he laid his bed, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Isaiah 63 in verse 1 tells us that God is mighty to save. Mighty to save. Incredible power. He has saving power. John chapter 3. In verse 17. You remember these words. Verse 15, John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why not? Because the world was already condemned. No, he sent him into the world to save. To save. He gave him power. All power is given unto the Son of God in heaven and in earth. It's all in his hand, you see. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, and him only, might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So something's changed, hasn't it? Yes, because we were all born into sin. Meaning that we were all under the condemnation of God. Because we weren't perfect. We weren't righteous. We haven't lived a perfect or righteous life. But praise God, he did. The only one. It's his righteousness that is imputed to us when we believe. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, there is power in Jesus Christ to save. There is no power anywhere else to save your soul or mine. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. He has pardoning power. What did he say to the man of the palsy? He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee, he said. Who else could have said that? Even the Pharisees knew that no one else could say that. Not with power and authority. They themselves knew that God only can save. He had pardoning power. Where did he get that pardoning power? Well, it was given to him by God, yes. All power, again, I say, is given unto him in heaven and in earth. But he earned that authority. I want us to be clear on that. He earned it. I couldn't. You couldn't. Why? Once again, because we've not lived a sinless life. God the Father's requirement was a payment for sin. It had to be a perfect person. Just one. Out of all these billions of people, just one. That's all God required. Just one perfect person that would be willing to sacrifice his life for others. Jesus Christ did exactly that. He walked this earth for his 33 years, and he never sinned one time. That's the righteousness that you're imputed with. Boy, you're blessed, you know it? You are so blessed. God loved you and loves you so much that he imputed what Jesus Christ did in his life. He didn't sin. That righteous life he's imputed into you, into your mind and your heart. Wow, what a blessed people we are. How often we ought to recognize the fact that he has bought us with a perfect life. Perfect blood. All that blood in the Old Testament was pointing to him. All of it. Every dove, every goat, every bull. Whatever the animal was in the Garden of Eden that God killed. He clothed them because they knew they were naked. They had sinned against God. One thing. All he required was one thing that we have record of. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that grows in the midst of the garden. One thing. And that's the one thing that they did, and they sinned against God. His promises are all true. They had to die. He had already promised, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they did. They were separated from him. And that coat of that animal that God made, he made them coats of skins. It pointed to the Son of God who walked a perfect life. That was an innocent animal that God took the life of. And it represented his Son that walked a perfect life on this earth and then dedicated and gave that life for you and for me. All of this book points to the power of Jesus Christ. He has power to forgive sins. Why? Because he paid the price. He was the high priest that offered up the sacrifice. And he was the sacrifice that he offered up. As Abraham told Isaac, he said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." Remember that? And that's exactly what God did. He provided himself the lamb. He knew who he was. He knew that there was no other. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember he asked the Lord, "If this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, thy will be done, Lord." Because he knew it was his place to go to that cross. He knew that. Isaiah in the 53rd chapter said that it pleased the Father to bruise him. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he does love us. As for sin, he has power to pardon sin. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6. Actually, that's the corresponding verse to Luke 5. And again, all of these miracles was to show that Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sins, to heal. His power is infinite. Turn with me to Matthew 28. This is the great commission that the Lord gave to the 11 disciples. Verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore." Go ye based on this fact that all power is in my hand. I said earlier this morning about the disciples, they were the first church. They were to let their light shine before the world. Well, what is the light of the world? Who is the light of the world? It's him. It's Jesus Christ. We are that same institution. We are God's church. We not only have the responsibility to point the world to Jesus Christ, but we have the privilege, and in that privilege, in that responsibility, we have the power and we have the authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ here and throughout the world. This is a special place. God's church is in the heart of its members. It's not this block building, although we're glad to have it right now, keeping this rain off our head. But no, it's us. We are the church. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, so you go. You trust me, and you obey me, and you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. We have the power and the authority that Jesus Christ gave the disciples today, right now. We have it. Of course, he has power over nature. And we could point out so many different ways. He walked on the water, didn't he? Yes. He was in the ship asleep and the storm came up and the sailors were afraid, about to drown, about to die. And they went down and said, "Don't you even care that we perish?" Their faith wasn't very strong, was it? Oh, but it was about to increase. He came up and he said, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the storm, it stopped. It stopped. And they said among themselves, "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this?" And just like the Pharisees, when the Lord healed the man with the palsy, they were like, their attitude was, only God can do stuff like this. They just hadn't recognized him yet, had they? It was him. He has power to save. He has power to pardon sins. He has infinite power. He has power over nature. He had power over his own life. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 17. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." Where did this power come from? "This commandment have I received of my Father." See, he willingly died for you. He willingly died for me. He had power to lay down his life. He had power to take it again. And praise God, he was faithful to the covenant that he had made before the earth began, before time. He had agreed with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to save a peculiar and a particular people. And all his promises are true. And he willingly went to the cross of Calvary. And he gave that perfect life and allowed them to shed his perfect blood for you and for me. Powerful. Powerful blood. He has power to give life. He stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Well, Lazarus was dead. He couldn't come forth. But by the power of the Word of God, he was God, see? When he said, "Come forth," he had life-giving power in his Word. The word that came out of his mouth was powerful and it gave life. That is how Lazarus heard him and obeyed him and he came forth. the power of the words that came out of his mouth. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He had power, didn't he? Life-giving power over his own life. Wonder-working power. God raised him from the dead. He stayed in that tomb for 3 days. God sent an angel, and the angel set upon the stone that physically kept Jesus' body in the tomb. The angel sat on it, showing God's mighty power. The angel rolled that great stone away, and Jesus Christ came forth out of the grave. He came forth successful. He came forth triumphant. Oh, you can trust in him because he holds the power, see? If you know him this morning, he lives within you. As we strive and struggle to walk every day closer to him, we have access to the power to do it. We have access to the strength to stand up for the truth and to walk in his way. Oh, won't we lean on him and realize, as we do, that's what he's teaching us in this life, is our total dependence on him. The more we rely on and depend on him, the stronger we become. That's a fact. We can stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. And when the storms come, according to the parable, when the storms come and the winds and the rains beat on that house, and that house and that parable represents our life, our lives will stand. Why? Because they're on the foundation of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. If we're dependent on anything else or anyone else, we're going to be as the foolish man who built his house on the sand and not on the rock. We'll be as the ones who built their life on a lie rather than the truth. Built their life depending on something else or someone else rather than Jesus Christ. And their life won't stand when the storms come. And the storm's coming. We can see the day coming quickly, can't we? Yes, it's obvious. Oh, but as we depend on him, we experience this wonder-working power. You are in his powerful hand this morning. Oh, won't you realize that you're his? This is the day that he's given you to live, yes. But it's also a day that he's invested in you to live. Oh, won't you live it for him, in service to him. As the prayer of Jabez, pray that he bless you and keep you safe from the enemy. He has the power. He has all the power. Depend on him and you will experience it in your life.